Duo Dickinson opened his own architectural practice in 1987. His work has received more than 30 awards, and his design work has been published in over 60 publications, including the New York Times, Architectural Record, and House Beautiful.
Bathrooms are a bizarre component of a house, and they're bizarre because they're without question, the most sybaritic, self-indulgent, pimpering, pampering part of the thing. It's sort of like if you have a self-indulgent side, it's the place where you can spend tens of thousands of dollars and dozens of hours doing nothing except thinking about the microscopic aspects of your exfoliation or your receding hairline or the new definition of your delts that you're going to the gym has gotten for you. Let's be sort of crude and say the localized realities of your evacuations. So it's this incredibly super hyper personal self-indulgent piece, but on the other hand, it's like a laboratory. It's got all this stuff happening in one place. It involves extremely precise lighting, obviously tons of plumbing and liquids under pressure. It has odor aspects to it. It has heat aspects to it. If it's cold in the bathroom, it's really painful. It also has visual aspects. You don't want to go into a black hole to go to the bathroom or to shower. At the same time, you want lots of natural light, but you don't want people seeing in and looking at you when you're doing this. But you also don't want to have no view if there's a view that's present, because it's one of the few times when you actually have almost license to be quiet and focused. I mean, most of us are way overcommitted, are going 60 miles an hour, and probably for a lot of us, the one time when you can just chill and read, as I have right here in my own bathroom, The New Yorker, is in fact when you're sitting on the can, basically, and hanging out. Because you're doing something. You're multitasking. You're in the bathroom doing what you do in the bathroom, but then maybe because you can't do anything but be in the bathroom doing what you're doing, you can also read or you can think or whatever. So you've got this place of contemplation that's also a place of high technology, that's also a place of high sort of almost emotional risk. The idea is you're vulnerable there. You're naked sometimes. You're in positions where you really have no flexibility to deal with danger. And I think there's kind of almost an animalistic sense that you want it to be completely safe and secure, but at the same time, you want it to be kind of fun and interesting so that you feel like you're being embraced by the room instead of just being in, let's face it, an outhouse. You're just sort of like taking a poop in the woods somewhere. So it is because of those factors, for the vast majority of bathrooms for adults, they cost a huge amount of money. Now, the other side of the equation, because let's face it, families aren't just about adults, they're also about kids. And kids, being kids, are perhaps, I think, the most irresponsible sort of, I don't really give a poop about anything but myself. And when they, especially boys, when they use a bathroom, they essentially invade it and they try to destroy it. And they destroy it with toxic liquids, toxic gases, and also just extreme abuse of the bathroom by the way they use it. So the kids' bathrooms will really have to be bomb-proof. They have to have an extreme durability factor or they will fail under stress very quickly. And there's nothing quite like a bathroom that is not working in a family to add to the stress level of the family when one of your kids has to use your bathroom because the toilet never stops running because they decided to press the lever with the velocity that they hit the home run with the other day in Little League. So when you're thinking about bathrooms, there's one element which I think you've got to embrace, which is the idea that there's got to be the ability of separation from the world. And that separation for an adult bathroom is separation of your bathroom from the house. But for kids, if they share a bathroom, I advocate that there should be what I call a segmented bath. One where if a kid wants to go to the bathroom, sit in the toilet, he shouldn't have to be sitting in the toilet while somebody walks in and brushes their teeth. They should have a little separate toilet room. Especially if they're mixed gender kids, you should be able to have a shower that's got its own little room where they can towel off and get their business together before they walk out naked. Otherwise, you'll lock the door to the bath will be totally inaccessible, and everybody will be angry at each other that I can't use the bath because Missy's in there taking the shower. So if you can do a segmented bath with each element of that having its own fan so it can evacuate smells and humidity, that each aspect has its own level of lighting. So some person wants to read, that's fine. Some person wants to have a dim shower where they can chill out and just think in the shower, that's also fine. So you have flexibility and separation for the kids, and you've got isolation and sort of celebration for the adults. And one of the real tricks that I found over the years for most people who really do not like skylights because they look like, you know, toaster ovens on your roof, is that skylit bathrooms give you this enormous level of light and zero sense of visual risk. People are never going to see you except the guy in the helicopter, you know, doing the traffic. And, you know, it's pretty far away, so he's not going to see that, you know, see that embarrassing aspect of your body, which you don't want anybody to reveal. But it also gives you the sense that it's a special place. It's a different place because you're doing stuff there you don't do anywhere else. It's extremely private. So a top-lit, skylit space automatically feels different for 90% of American homes, because in 90% of American homes, 90% of the rooms are not skylit. So that if you have a skylit bathroom, and you know, to be honest, the other aspect which has totally changed in the last 20 years, I mean 100%, has been, used to be bathrooms were fully optioned. The idea you'd have a bidet, two sinks, often two separate sinks, a shower, a tub, a place to sit and do whatever you do with your nails and stuff like that. I found, being an architect now for 30 years, the trend line is straight towards doing bathrooms that are one simple space, almost zen-like, with a gigantic shower. And it's not about actually, what's weird, it's not about sort of all of our teenage fantasies of like showering together, man, you know, like, well, loofah me, you know, that doesn't happen. It's basically because we're all kind of older and fatter and kind of more relaxed. We just don't want to have the walls of the shower come in and crowd us. We want to be able to have water from different angles and different temperatures. We just want to be able to just relax in the shower like we relax in our family room and have different options of putting our feet up, not putting our feet up. And because of that, the shower, more than maybe any other unit of in American homes, the shower has gone through the biggest evolution in the last 15 years, I think, of any part of our homes, because there's so many more options being asked for, and because it's a free market economy, there's so many more options being given to people, to housing consumers. So you'll find, you know, there are rain things that come from the top down that can cost $2,000 or $3,000 a piece. There are handheld things that either can go up or down and wash your feet or wash your face, and then you lift them off and you can do it. And the handheld things have got all sorts of different settings for a lot of power or less power. They're actually, I have clients that actually have a Japanese aspect where you have a little stool and you sit with a low spigot and you wash yourself off before you go into a soaking tub. Things have dramatically changed in the last 15 or 20 years. As the boomers, I think, get older and they realize that their quality of life is greatly affected by things like bathrooms, they're focusing on that as a space, not just simply to get in and get out, but to actually take the 10 or 20 minutes that a lot of us spend in the bathroom, expand it to about an hour, and use it every single day for an hour. And where you are, so goes the money. And so the money flow is into the bathroom.
Duo Dickinson is a parent, architect, and football fan.